理课堂听 class.com。
Number one, would you like some milk in your coffee?
Please.
What does the woman mean? Number two,
could you help Bob and me plan a surprise party for Meg?
Sure, what can I do?
What does the woman mean? Number three,
let's jog for another mile.
I'll try, but I'm running out of steam.
What does the man mean?Number four.
Should we call Marcia and tell her about the meeting?
I'm not sure. It's up to you.
What does the man imply? Number five.
I can't seem to solve this problem.
Neither can I.
What does the woman say about the problem? Number six.
Hello, I'm calling to see if the summer position you advertised in the paper is still available.
Yes, certainly.When could you come to the office for an interview?
What will the man probably do? Number seven.
It took me 5 days to drive down to Florida.
5 days? I could have walked there in less time.
What does the woman mean? Number eight.
Excuse me, did anybody find a black umbrella after the last show? I left it under my chair.
As a matter of fact, we did.Check at the ticket counter. That's where we turn in lost and found items.
What does the man suggest the woman do? Number nine.
I spent the whole weekend totally absorbed in this biography.
And you still haven't finished reading it?
What can be inferred about the biography? Number ten.
You haven't phoned Harry yet, have you?
As a matter of fact, I have.
What does the man mean? Number 11.
I can't seem to find my photo album.
I think Mary's looking at it in the living room.
What does the man mean? Number 12.
Did you hear that Michelle turned down that job?
Yeah, the hours were convenient, but she wouldn't have been able to make ends meet.
What does the man say about Michelle?Number 13.
Is there a bus I can get to the station?
There is, but you can't rely on it. I'll give you a ride if you can wait while I put these things away.
What is the woman going to do? Number 14.
I hate memorizing vocabulary.
Well, it's part of learning a second language, so there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
What does the woman tell the man?Number 15.
Have you had a chance to wear your new shirt yet?
That reminds me. I've been meaning to exchange it for a larger size.
What does the man imply about the shirt? Number 16.
Did you tell Carl that the concert starts at 8?
I've tried several times, but the line's been busy.
What does the man mean? Number 17.
I have the brown paper and the string. Could you hand me the tape and the scissors, please?
Sure, here they are. But remember, all this has to be weighed before it goes, too.
What is the man probably doing? Number 18.
Andrew likes his new place, but he's not too happy about all the noise.
What did he expect? He's right next to the airport.
What does the man mean? 19.
I don't remember exactly what the lab hours are, but they're posted on the door.
I just checked that schedule, and it says that the lab opens at 10, but it's all locked up.
What can be inferred about the lab? Number 20.
The subway's running behind schedule, and traffic's backed up for blocks. I don't know if we'll make the 7:15 show.
It's a beautiful night. Let's try to get there on foot. And if we don't make it, we'll just have dinner near the theater.
What does the woman suggest they do? Number 21.
We've been working on this proposal for so long that my eyes are starting to blur.
Why don't we get out of here? We can wrap it up later.
What does the woman mean? Number 22.
That was a really interesting piece of music. How'd you find out about it?
They played it on the classical station last week.
What does the man say about the music? Number 23.
I spent the whole weekend working on that chemistry assignment.
Don't tell me. I have to do the whole thing tonight.
What does the woman imply? Number 24.
Come to the movies with us. Everybody needs to take a break every once in a while.
I guess I might as well. I've been studying so long I can hardly concentrate.
What does the man mean? Number 25.
Pete's really out of it these days.
Yeah, I know. Ever since he met Anne, he's been in another world.
What does the woman imply about Pete? Number 26.
Look at all those cars lined up for the ferry. There must be 40 ahead of us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while.
What does the woman imply? Number 27.
I thought Pam said the math test wasn't until Monday.
Helen, you should know better than to take Pam's word for anything.
What does the man imply about Pam? Number 28.
So far, the club's about $300 in the red, and we still have 4 months to go before membership renewal.
Well, we may have to raise our dues.
What does the man suggest they do? Number 29.
I hear they hired 2 more students to work in the mailroom.
They're just a little short of a full staff, then.
What does the woman mean? Number 30.
Fred's off to the golf course again.
You'd think he was practicing for the championship.
What does the woman imply about Fred? Questions 31 through 34. Listen to 2 friends discuss their weekend plans.
Susan, I could really use your help this weekend.
What is it, John? Another term paper?
No. This is easy compared to that. My cousin's coming on Thursday. She has an interview at the college, and I promised my aunt I'd look after her. We're going to the game on Friday, but Saturday I'm on duty at the library all day and can't get out of it. I was wondering if you could show her around during the day, and then maybe we could all meet for dinner later.
Sure. I don't have any plans. What kinds of things does she like to do?
Actually, I haven't seen her for 3 years. She lives so far away. But this will be her first time on a college campus. She's still in high school, so she'll probably enjoy anything on campus.
Well, there's that music festival in the auditorium. That's a possibility. Only, I hope it doesn't snow. They're predicting 6 to 8 inches for the weekend. Everything will be closed down then.
Well, how about if, for the time being, I'll plan on dropping her off at your place on my way to work, around 11? But if there's a blizzard, I'll give you a call and see if we can figure something else out.
Sounds good. Meantime, I'll keep Saturday open. We can touch base Friday night when we'll have a better idea of the forecast.
I hope this works out. I feel kind of responsible. She won't know her way around, and I want her to have a good time. Anyway, I really appreciate your help. I owe you one.
No problem. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Number 31. What does John ask Susan to do? Number 32. What will John do on Saturday? Number 33. What does John say about his cousin's interest? Number 34. What can be inferred about John's cousin? Questions 35 through 37. Listen to a conversation in a university cafeteria.
I see you're having a fish for lunch.
That's right. Fish sticks and tomato soup. My favorite.
I bet they were frozen.
What?
The fish sticks.
Of course they were frozen. We're hundreds of miles from the ocean. The cafeteria can't afford to fly in fresh fish.
I just mentioned it because of an anecdote Professor Chambers told in class this morning.
Which class?
My American Social History. It's a lot of fun.
He talked about fish sticks?
Not exactly, but he did talk about frozen fish. Okay, this is back in 1912, right? It's 20 degrees below zero, and this guy, Clarence Birdseye, is out ice fishing.
Where is this? Antarctica?
No, Massachusetts, I think. Anyway, he catches a fish and drops it beside him on the ice, and it freezes solid.
So?
So, later at home, he thaws out the fish in a bucket of water, and it's alive. Of course, Birdseye is amazed, but he eventually figures out that the fish froze so fast that no large ice crystals formed.
What do you mean?
Look, usually when a plant or animal cell freezes, large ice crystals form inside and eventually tear the cell walls. That's what kills the frozen plant or animal, and also what changes the taste of something that's been frozen. But if you freeze something quickly, only very small ice crystals form. So Birdseye invented the process of quick freezing food.
And that was the beginning of frozen food?
Right.
Number 35. Why does the woman tell the man the story? Number 36. Why is it important to quick freeze fresh food? Number 37. What was Clarence Birdseye surprised to learn? This is the end of Part B. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 38 through 41. Listen to part of a lecture about the railroad industry.
At the beginning of the century, the railroads were used to haul everything. Powerful railroad barons made fortunes without having to be accountable to the public or considerate of customers. But cars and trucks changed all of that, and by 1970, the rail industry was beset with problems. Trucks were taking all the new business. And even so, the rail industry remained indifferent to customers. Also, many regulations kept the rail industry from adjusting to shifting markets. But in 1980, the rail industry entered the modern era when a deregulation bill was passed that allowed railroad companies to make quick adjustments to fees and practices. Companies reduced their lines by one-third and used fewer employees. They also took steps to minimize damage to products and to increase their shipping capacity by stacking freight containers on railroad cars. To accommodate these taller loads, underpasses and tunnels were enlarged. The image of the rail industry has changed dramatically. Today, companies are very responsive to customers and are gaining increasing market shares in the shipping industry. The railroad safety record is also strong. Freight trains have an accident rate that is only one-third that of the trucking industry. Trains also come out ahead of trucks on environmental grounds because they give off only one-tenth to one-third the pollution that is emitted by trucks. And railroading does not wear out highways as trucks do.
Number 38. What does the speaker mainly discuss? Number 39. What development caused a decline in the use of railroads? Number 40. What is one reason why the railroad industry is gaining public support? Number 41. According to the speaker, what expense does trucking create for the public? Questions 42 through 45. Listen to a talk in an introductory biology class.
This coffee can contains soil from my garden, and I prepared slide samples to show you that it's alive. This ordinary backyard dirt is crawling with microbes. Microbes is not a very specific term. There are hundreds of thousands of different species called microbes. What they have in common is that we can't see them with the naked eye. They are microscopic. Look at this slide. You should see some round cells. Those are yeasts. Yeasts are fermenters and are necessary for making bread, beer, yogurt, and so forth. Now, look for an irregular shape with hairs coming out of it. That's a mold. Molds are decomposers, and they are responsible for the decomposition of my compost heap. You should also see some protozoa. Some protozoa, like the one that causes malaria, are harmful to people. A microbe that causes disease is called a pathogen. Finally, you should see a lot of squiggly lines. They're bacteria, the oldest form of life on Earth. Like these other microbes, bacteria are single cells. But they are even more simple structurally because their cells do not have a nucleus. So, I've got about a teaspoon of soil in my hand here. In that teaspoon are about 10,000 protozoa, 200,000 mold cells, 1 million yeasts, and probably 1 billion bacteria.
Number 42. What is the main purpose of the talk? Number 43. Why did the speaker take a soil sample from his garden? Number 44. What does the speaker imply about yeasts? Number 45. What does the speaker ask the class to look at during the talk? Questions 46 through 50. Listen to a talk about cycling on the radio.
10 years ago, the eccentric cyclist pedaling furiously through the first snowstorm of the year was a rare sight, often captured on film for the evening news. Today, however, it's estimated that 4 to 5% of cyclists bicycle year-round. The increased popularity of winter cycling can be attributed to the creation of the mountain bike and its subsequent imitations, outfitted with parts more sturdy than those of yesterday. Equipped with their more stable bicycles, nothing seems to stop the new breed of winter cyclists. With streets dry and clear on most winter days, many winter cyclists wear running shoes and protect themselves from the cold by wearing downhill skiing clothes. On wet days, cyclists can wear special waterproof boots over their shoes. But for all of its popularity, there's a downside to winter cycling. Even mountain bikes can't withstand winter snow and rain without extensive upkeep. But one bicycle store owner is in the final stages of developing a year-round bicycle with an innovative complete chain cover. With bicycle chains covered, cyclists would need to clean and oil their chains only once every 6 months instead of once a week. Despite her invention, however, she still advises cyclists to take a taxi or bus when it's snowing heavily, not because conditions are too arduous for bicycles, months instead of once a week. Despite her invention, however, she still advises cyclists to take a taxi or bus when it's snowing heavily, not because conditions are too arduous for bicycles, but because she believes bikers can't have confidence in the people who drive cars on days of reduced visibility.
Number 46. What is the main subject of this talk? Number 47. According to the speaker, what has encouraged more people to cycle in winter? 48. What problem with winter cycling does the speaker mention? Number 49. What invention described by the speaker will make caring for bicycles in winter easier? Number 50. What does the inventor suggest cyclists do on days of very heavy snowfall?